People just want something to be outraged about.
She's white with blue eyes. She doesn't have the blonde hair, but I wouldn't say she's got good genes.
There's a playbook.
You will own nothing and be happy.
That's my biggest problem with this like climate agenda.
So now all of a sudden they have a loophole. $110 million by the state is now not going to the victims that lost their homes in the fires to help them rebuild.
All the stuff that they're talking about is like just putting more constraints on like regular people.
I need a house.
You know.
Damn, the reptilians are getting crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, allegedly. We're live.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Today-ish episode 3.
And just want to apologize for the sound issues of episode 1 and 2. Hopefully we have that situation figured out.
Yes. Hopefully no more echo and we can hear it out of both ears. We have an amazing show today. We're going to get into so much stuff. This is going to be by far my favorite episode. But before we get into everything, I think we just need to talk about quickly the New York City shooting that happened last night. And there's a lot of different ways you could go with this, which I have brought up to you. But I just think it's crazy that this guy, Shane, was walking through New York with this like giant rifle and nobody called 911 and said anything. It's just kind of crazy.
AR-15. I don't know what the laws are in New York, but I don't think you can open carry like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. He looked like a video game character.
But also New York is one of those places, because I've lived there for a couple years, is that like people just kind of mind their own business. They're just whatever on the street. And you can do a lot without anybody commenting anything.
I mean, yeah, but he's carrying, he like, I don't know.
But anyway, what I want to know is how he got into the Blackstone building, because there's a lot of security at all of these buildings. So based on what I've read, he didn't like shoot all the guards. He like one guy tragically passed away.
Yes, Officer
Islam.
Islam.
47th Precinct.
47th Precinct. James is bringing this up because I just thought it was very weird that this guy, Shane, got his carrying permit for firearms on June 14th, President Trump's birthday, and then happened to shoot and kill Officer Islam, who was a part of the 47th Precinct, Trump's the 47th president. I have, this leads nowhere, but maybe somebody out there knows something. I don't know. I just think that's weird. You know, makes me think we are in a simulation for sure.
From what I've read, he's disgruntled at the NFL for whatever reason. CTE, there's some note.
Yeah, so he was this like big high school football star, and the story goes is that he got injuries and has a long history of mental health issues, maybe from brain injury from football, and so he was headed up to NFL, but he never made it there. He shot up the Blackstone building and killed one of their executives. So I don't know, but it's just very sad. And have you seen the pictures of the people that are covering the door inside the building? Like people that were inside the building heard this automatic shooting going off and they started, I don't know where they got all these couches, but they barricaded the door.
I saw that picture.
I'm like, was this a living spaces? They literally have like 15 couches. It's crazy. I mean, I obviously would do the same thing, but anyways, just a wild situation. We'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, to me, a sign of just like another sign of decay in the U.S. where I think people have just like kind of had it with the elites controlling everything. It seems like they are able to get away with any crime.
So you feel like this is a Luigi Mangione situation?
I don't think it's necessarily a Luigi Mangione situation. I think this is throughout, like we've seen, like, you know, the thing that happened in Idaho a few weeks ago where some guy like started a fire to lure in first responders and then started sniping them down.
Yeah.
I just think people are just pissed. They're at their wit's end with everything and you're just going to see more violence. I think this is just what happens.
Well, yeah. I mean, we definitely have a mental health epidemic in the United States.
And also people.
Every single shooter has had a mental health issue.
So then I think we're just going to see more of this as like income inequality increases. People have nothing to lose. They're like, fuck it. I'm just going to.
Well, he lived with his parents in Nevada with a paid off house, no mortgage. So it wasn't a situation where, I mean, we don't know. We need more information. But the visuals of him walking around like he's in some sort of a video game with this huge gun is just crazy that not one person called 911 and said anything, and that he was able, like you said, to get through all of the security.
Yeah, that seems odd because you can't just waltz into New York City offices.
No.
It's really quite difficult, unless you shoot him.
Right, but, you know.
But I don't know. I mean, I think the NRA is probably pretty happy about, you know, little AR-15. Good.
You think it's a good publicity for them?
yeah. That's what.
Well, I just thought it was funny that you said that you're excited that you're going to be cashing in on Memdani. You think that this is going to help his campaign? Because I think the complete opposite.
I think, well, so Memdani's not in office right now. By the way, who's in office right now is Eric Adams, the police guy. And
yes.
This happened under the police regime.
Yes, but Memdani is saying he wants to defund the police.
Well, you just talked about a mental health crisis. He wants to divert some funds into mental health.
Right, and every time that's happened, it has made crime go up in those cities.
Hey, I'm just saying, I can't wait till for you to take me out to a nice gourmet meal.
I'm already scouting out the place. Memdani's not going to win. But anyways, that's crazy. What else is going on?
Well, let's talk about jeans.
Oh, my really God. This is honestly insane.
Really quick. Okay, LJ, can you pull up the Sydney Sweeney ad? Which
okay,
I believe
let's
is
see,
element
let's
see C4.
Jeans are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My jeans are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has her jeans.
So this has kind of like broken the internet. Sydney Sweeney has broken the internet a couple of times.
Yes, but people are saying that this is a eugenics Nazi propaganda ad.
People are saying that. I think, well, let's pull up the other. Let's pull up, which is element E5, not this one right here.
I mean, it's insane that people are saying this. This person, to me, is off the rocker.
Let's hear him out.
Should we be surprised that a company whose name is literally American Eagle is making fascist propaganda like this? Probably not, but it's still really shocking. Like, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white woman is talking about her good genes. Like, that is Nazi propaganda.
Okay.
Is it Nazi propaganda?
Look, she's white. With blue eyes. She doesn't have the blonde hair, but I wouldn't say she's got good genes. So, you know, like Sydney Sweeney has good genes because Sydney Sweeney's hot. And that's what models and stars have done throughout history in every single country around the world. They take the most attractive people and they push their products with it.
Yeah, this is a good ad because they knew. I mean, I think these ad executives know that this is going to like upset a few people because people are just getting. People just want something to be outraged about, I think. And they're just picking this because I think they're maybe jealous of Sydney Sweeney. I don't know. Sydney Sweeney, to me, is like not the best actress in the world. I have to say she's not that good at acting, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I think she's attractive and she's like, you know, she's got the looks going for her.
Yeah.
And they knew that this would upset some people. And now American Eagle.
Did they know this would upset some people? Like,
I think they did. Yeah.
Double entendre. Like, it's such a reach. Like, they're talking about her having good genes because she's hot and everybody, you know, mostly thinks that.
It didn't say like, oh, you need to only reproduce with white, blonde-haired people going forward.
Right, and if you look at American Eagle's past ads from like 2019, if you want to pull that up, you know, it shows that they had a curvaceous black woman promoting their genes. So, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. They were promoting her as beautiful. So why is Sydney Sweeney getting all the backlash?
I think it's because people I think they don't like Sydney Sweeney. I think they're jealous of Sydney Sweeney.
Ad.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that one probably got some backlash from the other side as well, saying, hey, we're promoting, like, fat people or something like that. And unhealthy lifestyle. I mean, this is the whole point of the ad agency. The stock is up 10% since that ad came out.
American Eagle is?
Yeah.
Well, so they're doing something, right?
So it's working.
Anyways,
people are talking
I'm just
about
saying,
it.
Like, you know, not every person with blonde hair and blue eyes is attractive. There's a lot of ugly blonde hair, blue eyes out there. They're not trying to push, you know, the Aryan race like these far-reaching liberals are saying. that this is like some sort of a eugenics movement. She's just,
I think,
hot.
People just, I mean, they're models.
Yeah.
This is like how advertising has always worked.
Yeah, but people are saying that this is proof that woke is dead and that the pendulum is now swinging back.
I think woke has taken a huge hit because it went too far and
yeah.
into just crazy land.
Yeah.
Because I'm honestly like woke where it came from is like, oh, being aware of like injustices in the world, which is true. There's a lot of injustices and we need to be aware of them.
For sure.
But then now it's just like, oh, every single thing is like Nazi or fascism.
It's gone too far.
I will, yeah. So I don't know. I did, but in terms of like hot or not, I did find it funny that Steven Crowder is calling her mid.
Oh, I don't know who he is, but I have to say I know quite a few people that don't think that she's that hot.
Well, I mean, and they're probably not as hot. They probably would never be able to, you know, pick up a Sydney Sweeney. Whoever is saying that she's not hot.
I mean, look, she was on White Lotus, I think, season one.
Oh, season one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was the first time she was ever on my radar. And I just thought,
you didn't
wow.
watch Euphoria?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Euphoria, if you haven't seen, I mean, I think that's where.
That was her breakout.
In many ways.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought, wow, she has great boobs. And that was just kind of my takeaway. But I didn't think like, oh my gosh, she's the most beautiful person in the world. But I'm happy for her in this ad. And I don't know why people are going so crazy. It's insane.
I think that's like the online world, because I actually went to check like the YouTube, the original video.
Yeah.
And it had like 99% upvote.
Yeah.
I just think this is like the like terminally online crowd.
Okay.
That is,
well, good.
Pissed off because you need to generate content of other content. We kind of know this because we're in content.
Yes.
And a lot of times, you don't even know what the original genesis of these things are. It could be somebody just trying to monetize something and just get people riled up. And they're like, hey, let's, it could be the ad agencies. Exactly. Exactly. Hey, you guys, can you get pissed off at this? So then now we have a conversation going. Stock's up 10%.
Smart. Maybe we need to use that strategy. Get some views. But anyways, happy that the ad is on fire. And they're up 10%. And speaking of fires.
Oh, God.
I want to get into all of the aftermath of what's going on with the LA fires, the Eaton fire, the Palisades fire, and what is going on there.
So the big, big scandal right now is this Fire Aid concert.
Okay.
The $100 million Fire Aid concert. And what the issue with that, let's start with the post, because I want to give people who don't know the story like the background about this. So This was back in January. The Annenberg Foundation teamed up with the Ballmer Group to put on this $100 million star-studded concert. I'm just going to read off this post because I think it named some of the important people. So CEO Wallace Annenberg, she actually just passed away a couple days ago, so RIP to her, joined LA philanthropist and Fire Aid lead concert supporter Steve and Connie Ballmer. So they are billionaires. He made his money in Microsoft. He now owns the Clippers, a bunch of other stuff as well. And then they also, in terms of getting the musicians in, teamed up with Shelley and Irving Azoff. They're music moguls. And this is the key part. They say they're raising millions and millions of dollars to help the most impacted and vulnerable victims of Altadena and the Palisades.
Wow, that's so generous of them.
Now, the problem now is that 6 months later, most, if not all, victims are like, I didn't see any of that money. Where is my portion of the $100 million?
Okay.
And
no, none. Has anybody reported receiving any of this money?
So there have been some people, there have been some investigative journalism going on by Fox 11 of LA, and they're saying, hey, we reached out to all these groups. So what happened, what ended up happening is that it sounded like they were going to give money to people there. But then what happened was then they ended up giving money to like 188, 200 plus nonprofit organizations.
Yikes.
That they were then going to then distribute this money later.
Yikes.
To whatever causes they are for. And if you go down the list, so I did speak to the head PR person of the Ballmer Group.
Okay.
I had like a 30, 40 minute call because he was
wow
not happy about the initial Fire Aid video that I put out. Like maybe this was like 4 or 5 weeks ago that got everybody sort of talking about
this. Is that the one
this.
Joe Rogan posted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one got, I think, some initial attention.
No wonder they weren't happy.
And so they're like, hey, you're like misrepresenting what's going on here. And what he's talking about is that, like, we didn't intend to give direct aid to people. What we wanted to do was bring in all these nonprofits, and then they are the best to distribute this money. Now we know, I mean, that's not really how nonprofits function.
Well, and we've seen so many times with different 501c3
yes.
nonprofit organizations, they say they're going to help a specific cause, and then they're paying all their people, and a very, very small portion of the proceeds from events like this actually go to the people in need.
Right. So, because if you go down the list, there's a lot of groups that just don't seem like they have anything to do with fire. There's like Baby to Baby was one of the groups that, like, they make diapers or some shit. And they're like, oh, we're going to give diapers to victims of the fire. I'm like, okay, cool. But then now you need to understand, as a person who just lost their house, oh, it's like, oh, I need diapers. I need to go to this nonprofit to get the diapers. I need to go to right. this other one to do another thing. Versus like, hey, they could have just organized this thing where it's like $100 million. And you show up, it's like you have the deed to your home and say, hey, I lost this home. It can be easily verified. It's like, all right, you get X dollars.
Right.
You get to choose what you need to do with that money.
Like, if they would just take all of this money that the state and these nonprofits are raising and just split it equally between all of the homeowners that lost their homes,
yeah.
you'd actually be making a difference in helping these people.
Oh, yeah. I think there's almost been... the number that I read, $1 billion raised.
$1 billion?
Through various nonprofit networks outside of the fire aid as well, just like in other fundraising platforms. Like $1 billion of aid has poured in from both the private and public sector. So, like, imagine if you could just like dole that money out to the victims who lost their homes.
Right. Then that would make a difference.
Right. Versus like, oh, now we're going to go to like the Pasadena Community College Fund is getting money. I'm like, why are they getting money?
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
And so then the funny part is like this investigation, quote unquote, that's done, because I've written to a lot of these groups. Obviously, yeah. they ignore me and don't want to give me any information. Yeah. And apparently these reporters are like, hey, we heard back from like 50 or 60 of these groups, and this is how they're spending their money. But then I'm like, publish it. How are they spending? They got like $500,000. How are they spending it?
Right.
Instead, the article was written in a way where it's like, oh, one person got like a piano or something because he was a musician, and now he's like,
you need a house.
Back, he's a like, piano. He's happy again, and now he's playing music because of the help from whatever this music
he's
group.
He's on his lot playing the piano as happy as can be.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
so ridiculous.
It's like you need to publish, like, oh, 50 groups disclose how they use the money. Publish it for the public to see, so then maybe they can dispel some of this, you know, quote unquote, misinformation, right. What people are saying. Because there has been actual misinformation about this.
Okay.
And I think the media has latched onto this misinformation to kind of like confuse people to say, no, no, no. Like people like myself, Spencer Pratt, are lying about these things. So I want to play Spencer's video really quick here and what he's talking about.
The spokesperson.
He's now like, he's posting, like he's going off. He's 4 or 5 times a day videos like blasting
everybody. And people
are
like, he's going to be the next governor of California. Like people are loving Spence.
That $100 million fire aid concert. Guess what? Sue Pascoli over at Circling the News and her deep dive investigative journalism discovered that the second round of $50 million funding, guess who took a fire aid grant? Let me tell you so you don't have to think too hard. Gavin Newsom and his Cal Volunteers office took a fire aid grant. So that's cool. We'd like to know how much you took and exactly what you did with the money for Altadena and Pacific Palisades. And I mean, dollar for dollar. What you did with it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I just...
Thank you.
My favorite part of the video is, thank you. That's amazing. So wait, is this true?
I looked into it. So here's... Okay, so part of the misinformation that gets off from this video is other people regurgitating this information and saying Gavin Newsom created this fund to get money. Now, okay. That part is not true. And that's where the media is going to... You don't need to play this, LDI, but... This is where the media is going to say, oh, look at all this information being spread, because okay. They'll take one creator who exaggerated the story. So then what actually happened, and this is according to the Cal Volunteer Twitter, and they said that, no, we didn't get any of this money. It's the Cal Volunteer Fund that got the money, and we are not associated with them, but they just are our fundraising arm. So I'm like, what's the difference? So you're saying, oh, your fundraising arm got the money. So they,
and so what are they doing with it?
We don't know. They're
so
no,
still another
no idea,
situation where there's money and nobody knows where it's going.
Nobody knows where it's going. And the funny thing or the weird thing that happened after that is it was there. The Cal Fund was on the Fire Aid website because on the Fire Aid website, it lists all the nonprofits that got money. But then like a couple days after Spencer posted that video, it got deleted.
Whoa.
From the website. That part is kind of a mystery right now.
Well, that's also sketchy.
Yeah. So they're now off scrub from the website. So I did verify this. It was on there before. Now it's not on there. And there's also a Twitter post that's not deleted, but they basically acknowledge that the fund did get money. So I'm not
And
sure.
How do we know how much money they got?
It's probably around $250,000 to $500,000.
Okay.
On average, that's what each of these NGOs seem to be getting.
Okay.
Between that number.
Not a huge amount of money, but not insignificant either.
Not a huge. I mean, they're splitting it amongst other people. So for me, this is like, oh, you have all these groups. Because I didn't like kind of a line-by-line cross-reference between the Balmer Group's charities and then the Fire Aid charities. And there's a lot of overlap. So basically what's happening here, this is just extra money for the charities that they're already working with.
Yeah.
So it's like, you could have just helped people directly.
Right.
But then you just instead chose to give money to your organization, your friends that you're already connected with.
And then who knows if these, you know, NGOs or these other 501c3s that you're giving the money to are owned by friends of the people raising the money. When it goes that route and you're not giving the money directly to the people, you don't know how they're funneling money around, right?
No idea. And they're not disclosing it. Even the reporters aren't disclosing it because they've heard back. A lot of them said, the LA Times did this whole piece that said, hey, we heard back from all of these groups and nowhere in the article does it say, okay, here's how they're spending their money. Line by line, let's see the P&L. Let's see how much money they got and where exactly the money's going. Instead, they're using this like anecdotal storytelling narrative where like this so-and-so, this person got helped in this way and this person got helped in this way. So it's like, yes, there are anecdotes out there of people getting help, but is like that happening? Is that widespread or is that like
right.
They picked a couple people?
Or are they laundering money to their friends?
Yeah, I'm sure a couple people have been helped, right, through this Fire Aid concert. But then is a lot of the money just flowing through their organizations, like, to their friends?
Yeah, they're washing it and bringing it back to the, who knows, music people.
I mean, that's
my
perception.
Yeah, I would be so pissed and hurt and so angry, which I think is what Spencer Pratt really embodies as the spokesperson for these fires. If I was somebody who had my home burned down in the Palisades or in the Eaton fires, because you look at what Gavin Newsom is doing. And I want to bring up the low-income housing article that was written. That is C7. Gavin Newsom has unveiled $110 million to build Palisades low-income housing. Now, what is so crazy is that the city of LA has been pushing low-income housing and building more affordable housing for the city for years. That's one of Karen Bass's initiatives. That's one of Gavin Newsom's big initiatives. But with the programs that they currently have, it specifically states that developers are not allowed to build low-income or affordable housing in fire zones. So this is what is so weird about this situation is that everything in the Palisades burned. And Gavin Newsom has announced that the funding we're announcing today will accelerate the development of affordable multifamily rental housing so that those rebuilding their lives after this tragedy have access to a safe, affordable place to come home. This is under the Multifamily Finance Super NOFA, Los Angeles Disaster Relief, and it makes funds accessible to support the developers of safe, fire-resilient, multifamily, low-income housing. So now all of a sudden they have a loophole. Again, $110 million by the state is now not going to the victims that lost their homes in the fires to help them rebuild, but to push Gavin Newsom's low-income, affordable housing agenda that he has wanted. And so they are actually incentivizing developers by giving them grants from the state to buy up these single-family lots and build multi-family residents on them. And it's a big problem. I mean, I would be so pissed, right? You're giving developers $5 million, and some of this money is broken out to specifically house homeless, which I know is a big issue for you, in both the Palisades area and in the Eaton Fire. By the way, both very affluent areas, right? These were, you know, 3 million plus homes in these areas. And now all of a sudden, they're going to be building up this low-income affordable housing in some of the richest areas in all of California, which is just interesting. You're giving no money to the victims, but you're, you know, pushing your agenda forward. And, you know, Spencer Pratt is one of the people that's brought up the fire trucks couldn't get down these streets because it was already so congested. People couldn't escape from the fires because it was gridlocked. And yet now you want to put 10 more cars on each lot building these apartments. It just doesn't make sense. It seems contradictory, too, to not having affordable housing in fire zones.
Well, here's the thing with the affordable housing is that it sounds really good, right? We want affordable housing. That's like people talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
In California, we have an affordability crisis.
Yeah.
But this thing that they're doing is not actually helping. This is just like a giveaway to real estate developers.
Right.
One of Gavin Newsom's biggest donor groups, if you were to look at how much money he's gotten from his past campaigns.
Okay.
So like this is just him placating to his donors, making sure that their needs, quote unquote, are being met.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, from my perspective, it's like, yeah, we should increase housing supply for people. Like, we need to do this. But like, do you do it in this scenario where people's houses have burned down and it looks really bad optically and they're squeezing weird laws in there? Like, there was a Senate bill that passed that says like, hey, you know, the state could potentially buy back some of these lots. If you,
same exact thing that happened in Maui with the Lahaina fires,
so,
which is very suspect.
Exactly. Instead of, or just doing a long-term strategy of like identifying areas in LA that are not developed, underdeveloped, and saying,
right,
oh, we're going to build affordable housing there.
Right. There's a lot of underdeveloped areas.
Yeah, but here's this issue there, is that this ultimately is a real estate play, in my opinion, because they want this building to go into nice affluent neighborhoods because the value of that building is going to be astronomically higher than versus building it in another area where it's underdeveloped or it's a new neighborhood or it's more on the outskirts of LA. They're not going to get as much return in building that. And ultimately, all these affordable units, they have covenants on them. So in 15, 20, 25 years, depending on the exact building, all of those affordable housing units will convert to market rate.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's why they want it in those areas. It's not because like, oh, we're helping the homeless people out. It's like, oh, no, this is a long-term real estate play to say, okay, we're going to put this building here because in 25 years, this building will be worth like 20x if we versus we put it in another neighborhood.
Yeah. And there's this idea that, oh, all of the people that lived in these areas are so rich and they have so much money. There's a lot of people, and you saw this from some of the coverage when the fires were happening, that were my grandparents' age. They bought the home in the 60s or the 50s. This is their nest egg. This is the legacy that they're giving to their children, right? And they've lived there for all of this time. They bought the home for $50,000, $40,000, $30,000, and they've just stayed in this one home. And so they lost everything. And a lot of these people, you know, as we also know, had their fire insurance canceled. And so the fact that Gavin Newsom is giving grants of $5 million to developers instead of helping some of these people that are not super rich, they just made great real estate investments. And, you know, maybe they were brought up in the area, their family lived there, and they bought these homes that went up astronomically over time. Why aren't you going to help them?
Because they didn't give him the donations when he was running for governor.
Well, if even if they did, they're not going to anymore.
Right? That's how you get into Gavin Newsom's good graces, is you give him millions of dollars when he's facing a recall election, which I think, you know, made a difference back in whatever, 2021. Like one of his, like I said, one of the largest industries that donated to him was real estate, meaning that now he's like beholden to the real estate industry. So every solution, whether it be homelessness or a post-fire, there's got to be some mechanism built in for the real estate industry to profit.
And what's also messed up about this is that a lot of people that are trying to rebuild can't get permits.
Yeah.
But the developers that are working with Newsom are getting fast-tracked permits. And the same thing happened in Maui after the Lahaina fires. In fact, the first person to, or developer to get a permit in Maui was a $64 million apartment complex for low-income families. And that was the first permit that was given after the fires, which exactly what's happening in the Palisades. It's the same exact thing.
There's a playbook.
Well, and a lot of people, to your point, would say that this is the WEF agenda, the World Economic Forum agenda, right? You will own nothing and be happy. They want to put in smart cities, 15-minute cities, which is basically an idea that you have everything you need in a 15-minute city, right? You don't need to own a car. You don't need to own a house. The government is going to have buildings for you. You're just going to have to pay rent, and you're not going to have to leave your little 15-minute area because you're going to be doing it in the name of helping climate change. So you won't be doing any carbon emissions, and that's the way they push this. And actually, Gavin Newsom, with this, you know, rebuilding the Palisades, that's actually what he loops in, is that this is good for climate change. We're going to get more people in these areas, and so there's going to be less carbon emissions. And it's just laughable to me because all of these, you know, elites fly their private jets around while you're recycling your yogurt cup. And, you know, they act like they can do all of these things in the name of climate change and smart cities, when really a lot of people believe, including me, it's about control.
100%. I mean, that's my biggest problem with this, like, climate agenda, because I'm not opposed to helping Earth's sustainability. I'm not opposed to that idea.
Yeah.
But then when 70% of the emissions come from corporations and billionaires,
right?
Why are we, you know, fucking making paper straws or whatever, like all the stuff that they're talking about is like just putting more constraints on like regular people.
Have you seen the clip where Bill Gates is asked about that?
The paper straws?
About, you know, you are such a big advocate for climate change, but yet you fly around in a private jet. Can you explain that?
Oh, didn't he say like he was more important than other people, basically?
He basically was like, well, I feel like the work I'm doing for the world, you know, counteracts my carbon emissions, so it's fine.
Right.
It's just so ridiculous. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I think my time, it's like, I don't want to recycle because I'm just so important, and that extra 2 minutes that it'll take to sort out my trash is not worth it for me. I don't know, these guys are insane.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, you know, they're having the CO2 climate summit in Brazil this year. Where all of the global elites fly.
Are you talking about
in
the carbon credits things, or are they talking about that there?
It's just the climate summit. And in order to make it less of a hassle for all of these world leaders and, you know, elites to fly in, they cut down part of the Brazilian rainforest to build a road to bypass traffic. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm like, why don't you do a Zoom call? It's just so
because
stupid.
Then you can't get the, I think a lot of these are like party stuff. It's like Davos, you know how like all the escorts and prostitutes get booked? It's like a huge
no.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. It's like the whole thing there is like some cesspool of like weird sex stuff that happens, you know.
Damn, the reptilians are getting crazy.
Yeah, allegedly. Okay. And that's like, they just find ways to make money because they could just reduce carbon, right? If carbon is the issue, and I'm not even saying that is the real issue, but let's say they're right and say we need to reduce the carbon emissions, then reduce it versus what they try to do is like, oh, we're going to create carbon credits that can be traded around from one company to another company, and we're going to go ahead and tokenize all our forests, even though those forests were already there. So now they're just basically making another money-making.
We're destroying the planet so many other ways. One of them with the poisons that we spray on our food, our fruits, our vegetables, that leaks into our soil, our water systems. So if they really want to help the planet, they should really fix some of these issues that are going on in the world.
No, but they can't because they can't make as much money.
Right. It's always about money. But this is, I think, one of the most important topics that we're ever going to talk about.
So far
with the glyphosate situation.
The glyphosate situation is very much what you talked about, where they know it's not good. They know it causes cancer. Every scientist that is not
and
paid
just to
off,
back up, glyphosate okay. yeah, for yeah, people yeah, that don't know is the most popular herbicide in the world, sprayed on all of our fruits and vegetables.
Roundup. It's the
Roundup
ingredient that is in Roundup.
Okay.
So it was invented back. So like, yeah, let's do a backstory, because it was invented back in the 70s. And it was this kind of miracle herbicide, pesticide that could be spread on anything. And they started realizing, oh, we can actually modify crops to be resistant to Roundup and glyphosate. Because what happened was the sale of this product wasn't like all that much until they started messing around with the crops and getting like these GMO crops in there. And then it took off. So now it's like a key part of the agriculture business. People use it at home. And over time, like there have been many, many studies that have come out, and also not even just study, but empirical data that says, hey, this causes cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, all kinds of issues. I recently spoke to a molecular toxicologist. She's like, all the studies point to like, this is bad for your health, even on the food itself. Because I asked her, it's like, hey, is there a difference between like using Roundup on your yard and you walking on it afterwards and getting some on your hands and skin versus like eating food that has been sprayed with Roundup? And then it's obviously like dried out and it gets to you like months later or whatever. And she said, part of the main issue is like with the spraying, but with the food, it's also causing other issues that it's like endocrine disrupting and is messing with your microbiomes and other things. So there's problems in both aspects. And what the Bayer people say is that...
And Bayer owns...
Bayer is the owner of...
Glyphosate,
because it was invented by Monsanto.
Okay.
And Monsanto is like the big like name that people know as like
evil. Of course.
Like that's like the evil corporation of the world.
Well, they invented GMO crops, correct? Yeah, yeah. GMO seeds, genetically modified seeds. So
it's for this glyphosate.
I mean, there you go.
They have like glyphosate, like the corn and
yeah,
soy.
That's why I don't eat corn or soy. I actually
how is that? I mean, I love corn though. It's tasty.
I love my body and brain.
I know, but pretty soon you're not gonna be able to eat anything.
Well, I guess we'll just have to, you know,
have to move,
cross that bridge.
You have to like move to like some remote island,
or you just farm your own food.
Yeah, or you have to do that.
And you find heirloom seeds.
Yeah, there you go.
So what is Bayer doing? This is the most important.
Okay. So I think what's funny is like Bayer bought Monsanto and then like that retired that name because of the negative associations.
Yeah.
Like people can't figure it out later. It's like, anyways, they've now become Monsanto.
Yes.
And right now they're pushing a liability shield law in many states, 11 states, two of them have passed, in Georgia and North Dakota, basically saying that you can't sue us for, you know, getting sick from this product. And they've slipped in a provision, section 453 in the next appropriations bill, that does the same thing, but at a federal level. And it's kind of tricky because people are like, oh, it's not like a liability shield in the sense that like the same as vaccines. They're going through some loophole where they're like not updating the warning labels. In effect, it's like they're making it so when you do sue, the judge will be like, no, we'll just have to throw it out due to some kind of technicality. I don't understand all the legal aspects of it, but in talking to like a legal expert, they say effectively it stops all the lawsuits from becoming successful.
Like, so maybe the law isn't written in the same way that the vaccine injury law is, but it basically is the same thing, right? Because it's protecting the companies from having anybody that has any sort of bodily harm or injury because of this man-made poison chemical from being able to get any money back from the company from their injury.
And you know what I find very funny? So like, this is the 11 states right here.
I mean, this is crazy. This is not number one news.
Because the news is kind of bought off by these guys.
RFK Jr., where are you on this one?
I don't know where. A lot of people are wondering that because this is kind of like going against the MAHA agenda.
Yeah, 100%.
But what I find interesting about this whole thing, because this is like a little bit of like the corporations, I think, feeling out like where people are at with this.
Yeah.
Because what the IARC, which is a part of the WHO, which I don't think you're a big fan of the WHO,
no,
right? But they've deemed, back in 2015, they said that, hey, this is a class 2 carcinogen or something. They say, hey, this is potentially causing cancer to humans.
Yeah.
And the Bayer, head of Bayer PR says, the WHO is not a governing body. Why they don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, I'm surprised.
And so I just find it very interesting because during COVID, it was like the WHO was very much revered in a sense of like, we have to listen to them. All the social media sites are like, hey, you can't go against WHO recommendations in terms of your content. If you do that, it'll get taken down. And now they're like, oh, people don't like the WHO. Let me use that and say, hey, why are you listening to these guys? They're a non-governing body. Do you trust their
Right.
Do you trust their analysis of this?
And this was in 2015, I think you said?
2015 that they made that initial determination.
Okay, so this is crazy. The National Pesticide Information Center in 2015 estimates that more than 750 products, this was probably the same study, contains glyphosate in the U.S. Since glyphosate testing began in 2016, reports of glyphosate residue have been discovered in popular vaccines.
Ooh.
With the most contamination found in Merck's MMR. However, the FDA has confirmed trace amounts, thousands of products, including cookies, crackers, cold cereals, and chips. And when it comes to the cereals, it's in 90% of the cereals. And all of the organic cereals, which glyphosate is not supposed to be sprayed on any organic crops. But the reason that they believe it's in vaccines, right? You said like,
how is it getting into vaccines?
So, you know, you said like, oh, is it bad when you're spraying it and it gets on your skin versus when you're eating it, right? Because it's sprayed on the food. Imagine if you're injecting it into your bloodstream.
Yeah, but how is it getting into that?
Because when they're making vaccines, they use products like eggs, for example. And because the stuff is sprayed everywhere, it's getting into everything to the point where it is now, they are now finding trace amounts in vaccines.
Yeah, that's not good, not ideal.
No, but I didn't think that, I had never heard that before. And so when I was doing research on this, I thought that was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And one thing that doesn't lie are, you know, is litigation.
Yeah.
One thing that doesn't lie is litigation. And the numbers, they tell a whole story for itself. It's 180,000 lawsuits over the past decade, $12 billion in damages from Roundup.
I mean, it's a poison.
It's really safe, so safe that we want to make sure that people can't continue to sue us because they're taking a huge, huge hit. Because if you compare this, the amount they're paying out in lawsuits over lobbying, there's lobbying numbers that I have for you, LJ. I think it's in D8. They're spending the most they've ever spent. Bayer has spent the most they've ever spent on lobbying. And it's like, I don't know, it's like $8-10 million, which isn't that much.
I was like, billion? Holy shit. No, still crazy.
$8-10 million, it's high as it's ever been, but that's so cheap compared to paying
out
all these
hundreds of millions in lawsuits.
$12 billion.
Insane.
$12 billion. So Congress people are cheap. So if people could figure out some way to like pool money, like we could start buying off a few of these Congress people. I'm just saying. That's how these people respond. They don't actually care about the votes as much because they know the money equals votes.
Right. So, it's sickening. I mean, we have such a corrupt system.
And that's why people are going into BlackRock or Blackstone shooting. That's why I think.
I mean,
and corruption in the city. They're like, screw it. I'm just going to go shoot a couple people today and just call it.
Well, it could be. So this is something really crazy. I don't know if you know about this, but, you know, you saying that this chemical is so safe, you can't sue us. Well, in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, there was a chemical that was also produced by Monsanto called DDT. And DDT was known as the miracle drug, because at the time you had World War II going on and soldiers were dying from mosquito.
Well, what is DDT used for?
DDT was a pesticide.
Oh, it's also okay.
Same exact thing. And, you know, it was named this miracle drug because during World War II, you had people dying of malaria and soldiers. And so this wiped out all of the mosquitoes and all of the flies. And so they said, oh my gosh, you're saving all of these soldiers. This is a miracle. And at the time there was confusion about how polio was spread. Polio is not spread by mosquitoes, but back then they thought that it could be. So they were also saying this is a cure for polio as well. Check out this DDT is good for me ad from the 1960s.
That looks fun.
So this is an ad from a company called Pennsalt. And that is one of Monsanto's companies.
Let's put it on the steak.
It says it is good for stress. They show a mother feeding her baby with a bottle. It's good for the home. It's good for fruits. It's good for dairies. It's good for industry. It's good for crops.
And this isn't some kind of like 1950s version of the onion here?
No, this is... No, and there's many different ads like this. So what happened is in, I believe it was 1972, DDT was banned. There was this woman who, during the DDT time, realized that not only were flies and mosquitoes, you know, being killed, but the songbirds were gone. All the birds that used to sing, and everybody would listen to them, they just disappeared. And she wrote a book called, I think, Silent, I can't remember the name, Silent Something. And everybody said, she's a crazy woman. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Well, it turns out she was right. And the EPA came around in 1972 and banned DDT.
How does she get the attention of the EPA, though?
Well, the EPA was founded in the same year.
Oh, okay. So that one's like
at this point they
were still
good.
They were still doing what they're supposed to do.
Yes, and there had been a lot of people claiming that weird stuff had been going on with animals, and so different investigations had started going into this product DDT, and it's just so sad because what this company did, it wasn't Monsanto, it was this other company that had the second most amount of DDT production. The EPA said, if you're going to get rid of DDT, you're going to have to burn it at a high volume. You know, you're going to have to put it in plastic barrels, do all these things. But they had made so much of this chemical because, remember, it was like the savior from God. And, you know, it was getting rid of malaria and polio and all this stuff. So they started dumping barrels of DDT off the coast in Southern California. And this was a conspiracy theory for a long time until marine biologists, a part of UCSB, took robots down into the waters. This is an LA Times article. Look at that. You can see one of the barrels there. And if you keep scrolling, LJ, you can see that the barrel is actually bright blue. So what they found out is that these companies dumped over 500,000 barrels in the Pacific Ocean that they know of. They've gone back, they've looked at the logs of this, and because of this, they have now been able to link that this is the cause for all of these fish during the time of 1972 to 1990, the bottom feeder fish that had tumors, the bald eagle population on the island disappeared. The brown pelican population also went extinct in this area. Dolphins and other sea mammals breastfeed their young, similar to the way that we do. It's found in their breast milk. When they do autopsies on the dolphins that are dead that wash up on shore, they have 10 times more DDT than dolphins would in off the coast in Brazil and other areas. And it is a hot spot for this chemical. And so I just feel like with this glyphosate situation, it's the same companies. It's just the new version, and we're repeating the same mistakes, and we're allowing profit to trump people's health and the health of planet Earth, including our ocean and our fish and our birds and our sea life. And it is so sad and so tragic and disgusting. And what they found out is that a lot of times these shoremen that had to get rid of the barrels, they couldn't get them to sink because they were buoyant. So they would puncture them. So they would go to the bottom, and they've been slowly leaking at the bottom of the ocean over time.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good.
No.
And I think they had to paint that as a conspiracy at the time. Probably they were trying to keep it a conspiracy because if that got out, people would be extremely outraged like we are right now. But then over time, I think people just discover it and it's like long past. Like, oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. We would never do something like that ever again. And here we are in the midst of probably doing something like that exact thing where we're spraying glyphosate everywhere. And I do want to, because you asked like, hey, what the hell is RFK Jr. doing?
Yeah.
So Whitney Webb yesterday gave this very interesting interview. Do you know who Whitney Webb is?
No.
She's like a journalist. She wrote two really kind of seminal works on Jeffrey Epstein called One Nation Under Blackmail, Volume 1 and 2.
Okay.
But she's very on the pulse with this kind of deep state stuff. And what she's saying is that the Trump administration department heads are all just kind of like figureheads, quote unquote, that are made for TV, but there's actual other people running the government. So, for example, she gave an example saying, okay.
And this is right up my alley.
So RFK Jr., right? You're like, what is he doing about it? Well, he's saying that, no, RFK Jr. is just a guy who's good with the MAHA base. He has that appeal to regular Americans. But there's another guy named, Deputy HHS Secretary Jim O'Neill, who runs, and Jim O'Neill is like an industry insider. And he's saying the same thing about like Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth is Secretary of Defense. And he's saying, no.
So
another.
They just get ripped guys to be like the front person.
Hegseth is a Fox News guy. So people like, you know, they're very good on camera. They can say a lot of stuff, but he's not actually running the show. There's another guy, Steven Feinberg, apparently, Deputy SecDef that does this. So what she's saying is that the reason why Trump is sort of not able to do a lot of the things that he's promised is that there's other people running the show, and this could be potentially his fault, not his fault. It could be like, hey, we're going to let you be president, but we need our guys to actually run the thing. And then you can give the appearance of things changing, America First or MAHA, all these things will give you like the show. Like Trump just cares about the show and producing that side of things. But in terms of the actual policy, there's other people that are in charge.
Like he was great on The Apprentice, so let's just put him out there. So what you're saying is like with this glyphosate and Monsanto and DDT stuff, these companies are just going to keep making these chemicals and nothing's going to ever get done? Is that...
Until everybody dies or whatever. I mean, the thing is about these things is like, it's not like an immediate acute death, right? It's like over a period of time, you're using glyphosate for 10, 15 years.
Well, no, you have Bayer, right? Which is a pharmaceutical company.
Well, yeah. So then you create this like sickness thing where they also have the cure, but they have a treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. They also produce the chemical that could cause it.
Right.
So that is a part of, like the profit mechanism is definitely a part of it where they're not incentivized to keep people healthy, but it only works up until a certain point where like everybody's now sick and everybody's got some malaise and your productivity as a country goes down.
Which is what RFK is talking about.
Yeah. And then you can't compete with other countries that have like, they're optimizing for like the health and, you know, both like physical and mental of their population to be able to produce more, to be like having the smartest people working on the most important things. Like all, this is a bit of a rant, but like all the smartest people in America are not working on projects that actually like help the nation. They're working on like figuring out ways to like monetize Facebook and Meta and like help like sell some shit on your, you know, Instagram account. Like all the smart people are going there. They're not going to like, hey, let's build something like infrastructure in America. Let's build like these projects. You know, back in the days they had like all of these things that are like these government projects, even the Manhattan Project, right? You could, controversial, but like a great scientific feat that took the best minds of the country to accomplish. And now all those minds would be at like Meta. You know what I mean? And what is Meta? Meta is an advertising company.
But my question is like, if you start killing off the population and our infertility rates are lower than ever, back to glyphosate, 57% of sperm samples from infertile men, glyphosate was... very present. So what are you going to do if there's no more people around? Like you're causing, you know, such serious issues that there might not be anybody working at Meta. And I guess that might promote their AI robotics future and they don't really care. But I think it's really important for moms, for everybody to know that glyphosate is a poison. This company, Monsanto, did it before. These companies don't care about you. They are profit over people. And you should probably just be aware that glyphosate is sprayed on your conventional crops. It's not supposed to be sprayed on organic, which is why people buy organic and spend more for that. Although
there are some sketchy stuff with organic as well. Is,
you know, but I think that these are the issues that the world population needs to unite on. You know, it's like the ants movie with the grasshoppers and the ants.
I love that movie.
It's the best. And they find out there's only a few grasshoppers. And when the ants figure that out, they're like, we're not giving you any more grain, hopper. To, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know that's a
grasshopper.
Pro-socialism movie, yeah?
I don't. Yeah. But what I got from it is that, you know, I believe the media and politics in general is just constantly trying to divide us on different issues. And if we focused on things like clean air, clean water, clean food, and united on these things, we could overthrow the grasshoppers of the world. Whether they're the actors or the deep state or whatever you're trying to say, we need to focus on these types of things. I think these are the most important issues.
100%. Yes. The collective is always going to be more powerful. That's why you have to try to separate as many people. That's why you have these cultural issues like we talked about with Sydney Sweeney. Right now, there's a divide just about genes, right? It's so dumb. And like people are expending energy over that versus like focusing. Like it should be like glyphosate should be wall-to-wall coverage.
For sure. And right? And also on that note, we're giving you guys this information about them lobbying to get these laws passed where they can't get sued before it's actually happened.
Yeah.
So we need to get everybody aware of this, make their voices heard, make this a viral thing on TikTok and Instagram and stand up and say, I don't want this, you know, vaccine injury liability part two with this glyphosate. Sorry, we saw you do it before and we're not going to do it again. Like, yes. We're going to sue you if you make us sick and give us cancer. And that's just that.
Section 453 in the next appropriations bill. I spoke to the toxicologist and she's like in the halls of Congress and she's trying to get interviews. So I did an interview with her on Breaking Points.
Amazing.
And she was telling me like, yeah, I've been trying to get mainstream media to like talk to me and they won't. Like nobody really wants to do the story. So, you know, she really appreciated the coverage that we were doing on there. Now. Absolutely. She's very, very smart. Obviously knows all the science behind it. And not to take a hard turn in terms of the topics, but in terms of people uniting, here's an interesting story, though.
Okay.
An app called T that lets women anonymously review guys has soared to number one in the app store. Okay, this is the Washington Post headline. The T app lets women review their dates. Men are worried. So now it's women are coming together to get on this app that is, quote unquote, promoting dating safety. And women, only women, can go on the app. And they basically are providing feedback about the men on the other side.
So is it a dating app?
It's not a dating app. It's an app where you rate the men that you've gone on dates with.
Ooh. This yes. is like a burn book.
Yeah. So some people are saying that because they use the men's photos and faces and names, there's like potentially a privacy issue. But then women are like, hey, we need to report these abusive guys. So this is like a collective coming together, women saying, hey, men are...
It sounds like a man-hater app.
Yeah, so what do you think of this? Number one app in the App Store.
Well, I could see how it would be addictive if you were single, especially. Like, I went on a date with Mark, and Mark had bad breath and is, you know, you can just tell, low IQ or something, right? And just, like, trash on the guys. I don't think that's good for... society. I don't think it's good for dating. And I
don't
think
dating apps are good for dating in general.
Well, and can you just imagine if the roles were reversed? If men had an app where they were putting pictures up of women and saying, you know, yeah, you know, not very attractive, catfished me online, not funny, horrible conversation. I mean, men would be prosecuted, persecuted.
Yes.
Both.
Yes. That's a good point. That is a good point because I think this only works one way because they're saying, hey, we need to protect ourselves. Because, I mean, it is different. Like, women are not as strong. Men can, like, physically overpower women. It's like, hey, we need to be safe. Like, this guy is very abusive. He did this with me. He tried to, like, back me into a corner. Stuff like that. Yeah, that should be known.
Sure, yeah.
But on the flip side, if men try to say, hey, this woman is insane and...
But then... If somebody has like a police report for being abusive, shouldn't these other popular dating apps profile them? Why do the women need this, or do they? They might.
So this is part of the reporting that they talked about is that the apps themselves should be doing this, but they're not.
Right.
And so...
Like if you have a sex offender running wild on Hinge or something, I think that's a problem.
And I think they try to be fair to like Hinge and stuff like that. I think they try to, but I don't think there's like the most robust background checks. And oftentimes these things aren't reported to the police because you know, like women don't often report like sexual assault and things to the
police.
I think
a lot more now than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because there's been like the Me Too movement and a lot more talk about women coming out. But yeah, historically, I think women are quiet about that.
Yeah, which is, I think, so, I mean, part of this is like, I kind of agree with it. It's like, cool. But then part of it is like, no, it's not good. And also, like, in general, for me, it's like dating apps just don't incentivize good behavior for men or women. Like, for men, it's only like the top 10% get like all the matches. Like, 80% of the matches go to top 10% of men.
They're going to Sydney Sweeney's with the good jeans?
No, the men are getting...
Oh, just the men.
No, I'm saying the top 10% of men are getting 80% of the matches.
Well, they probably have good genes.
Okay, yes, they have. But then men are not selected. So they're matching with like all the women, right?
Right.
So then all the women are thinking they could like be with all these men who are like, they don't really care about, they don't want to marry. They might want to have sex with you. I'm just being real. They want to have sex with you. They're probably not going to like marry you. So then all these men are incentivized to be like really bad behavior because they have unlimited women and they're like, I'll go through all these women and it's all good. And so like these men are being conditioned to treat women like they're disposable.
Although I will push back a little bit because I have been to several weddings where I have friends that matched and got married.
Oh, sure.
No.
I'm not saying there are no matches coming and people aren't getting married. I'm just saying overall, it's incentivizing bad behavior for the top tier men.
Yeah.
That are on there that are getting all the matches, they're taught to think that, oh, women are unlimited, disposable, whatever, don't care.
Yeah.
And then women then are left with this kind of...
Now they've pushed back.
And I wouldn't have otherwise come across the story, but it came up, popped up in my Ground News My Feed feature, which curates top stories from around the world based on your interests. And also, Ground News is our amazing sponsor for today's show.
They are an amazing sponsor. And I wonder how they got that on your algorithm. What have you been looking up? Ground News is a platform that makes it easy to compare news sources, read between the lines of media bias, and break free from algorithms. With any given story, you can see the bias distribution, whether it's being covered more from liberal-aligned outlets or conservative-aligned outlets. There's also their patented blind spot feature, which identifies which stories are being exclusively covered by one side and completely ignored by the other side. You can also customize your feed based on what topics you're interested in. Is that what you did? Is that why that
was? I think this is a technology story, okay? Okay, I said I was interested in technology, okay. And this is, you know, number one app in the App Store. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. We would highly recommend you subscribe to Ground News, and we're negotiating a great deal for you, 40% off the Vantage Plan subscription, which is unlimited access for just $5 a month. To get that discount, you can use the link ground.news/todayish. No promo code necessary. Just go to ground.news/todayish and click to subscribe.
Yes, and thank you to Ground News. But also, in terms of like, women being in precarious situations. You told me about this documentary you watched like a few days ago.
God, you guys. First of all, yes. I watched the Amy Bradley documentary on Netflix, which is about this woman in 1998 that goes on a cruise ship with her family and she goes missing. Now, I've been on one cruise in my life with my mom. She wanted to go for her 50th birthday. And I hated it, and I will never go on a cruise again. So I already had a hatred for
cruises. Wait, what happened? So what happened on that cruise that made you hate it?
In general, I'm somebody who doesn't really like to be, like, stuck,
right? You're stuck. You're definitely stuck.
Like, I am always the one that drives everywhere, right? Like, everybody's like, oh, Danny will drive. I'm like, yeah, because I want an escape route. You know what I mean? In college, I went to U of A. People were getting popped all the times for MIPs. All my friends, that's a minor in possession. You know, if you're under the age of 21 and you have alcohol in your body, they consider your body a container. And so you'll get written up. You'll get a, you know, I never got one because your girl would walk into a frat party. I would look at a wall. I'd be like, I can jump that. People would see me. I'd fly. I would fly over the wall. Anyways, I don't like being trapped anywhere. So I went on this cruise and you get this, you know, little room. The boat's rocky. I'm very big into food. You have, you know, not to be whatever, but you have all these fat people smoking cigarettes with like big Diet Cokes, you know, and then they're like, get another Mai Tai, go to the disco. And I was like, am I in hell? Like, this is the worst. So anyways, I already had like a hatred for cruises. And also, just for me, when I travel, like, I want to be in one spot and be immersed in the culture and the, you know, I don't want to be like, it's 4 p.m., get back on the cruise.
You don't want to go from, like, Senor Frog to Senor Frog.
Oh, it's just like my worst nightmare. I always joke, like, if I'm not good enough on planet Earth and they're like, you're going to hell, sorry, you didn't make it to heaven, it wouldn't be the fiery pit. It would be like a Royal Caribbean cruise. That's, for me, that's what would happen. But anyways, I watched this story and it's crazy. They have all these theories. They've never found Amy. And so you have on this documentary all of these people.
Are you going to, before we go too far, are you going to give spoilers or is this going to?
No, I'm not going to give spoilers because there really aren't any spoilers to give. They're not sure if she got sex trafficked. They're not sure.
So they didn't
find
Amy. Amy's not found.
No, but they're, I guess this is a spoiler. They, you know, the FBI investigation is still going on. And there are pictures that have been sent to the family from like sex trafficking websites where it is like the angles of her face and stuff.
Should we watch the trailer just to give people like 30? Let's go 30, 40 seconds of the trailer.
Yeah. Netflix.
C12.
You're not sponsoring us, but if you'd like to.
If you ever wanted to kill somebody, just take them on a cruise.
Exactly what has happened to their daughter is a mystery.
Because you'll never get caught.
Welcome aboard the MS Rhapsody of the Seas.
Amy Bradley was 23 and she was on her family vacation.
The water was crystal clear.
Life is good. Everything's great. Thought I'd see her tomorrow. I went to bed.
So as you see, when it starts off, it says, if you want to kill somebody, go on a cruise, right? And you watch this and you have these cruise professionals that come out and they're like, oh, people go missing all the time. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, so anyways.
How many people go missing? Do they have data on that?
So there is a law firm that reported how many people go missing on these cruise ships. And they said between 19 and 26 people a year. And they're saying that's an insignificant amount of people.
Yeah, right. That's what people would say. It's like, yeah, we have millions of people go on a cruise every year.
Right.
And 26 is no big deal.
That's what they say. But I'm like, that's a lot of people. You know what I mean? Especially with all the Jeffrey Epstein stuff in the Caribbean, right? That's where Little St. James is. We know that it's like a hub for sex trafficking. So anyways, I started looking into this and these cruises do not report and historically never reported when any sort of an incident would happen, like a murder, somebody going missing, injuries, theft, rapes. So in 2010, they did put together it's called the CVSSA, and it is by the government transportation website, where these cruises since 2010 have to report any incidences that happen on cruise ships. Now, the problem is that since they put this in place, you can see this Business Insider article. This is D12. Wow, 12 is my favorite number in D, Danny. How funny that it was there.
The numerology continues.
The numerology continues today. That the U.S. government is required to publish reports of criminal activity on cruise ships every quarter, but they haven't all year. And so I went to the website where they have to report all of their quarterly incidents. And if we could just pull that up, it is so disturbing. So this is just one snapshot of last year, middle of summer, 2024, July 1st through September 30th, okay? Assault with serious bodily injury. And by the way, they say that these cruise ships, they don't really want to report it, right? Because it's bad for business. So these are just the ones that are reported. Just in this quarter, 6. No deaths this quarter. 1 person missing. But this is where it got really crazy to me. That nobody's talking about. The amount of sexual assaults and rapes on these ships every quarter is insane. 20 sexual assaults in just this quarter reported, and 18 rapes just in one quarter. And what's really concerning is that a large portion of those sexual assaults and rapes happened on the Disney Cruise Line.
Those guys are... I'm not going to make a joke. This is a serious topic. Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry.
It's not ideal. Like, this is because there's no laws. Because I'm also opposed to cruise. I've never been on a cruise, but I'm very opposed to cruises because there's no, there's like maritime law. You don't really know what country you're in. These boats are always registered in like Antigua or whatever these like Caribbean nations that you don't really know what their judicial process is like.
It's like the Wild Wild West out there.
Yeah. So it's like, why? So, and then people somehow think that's like safe though, you know, because a lot of people who love cruise, they're on there and they're acting like nothing can happen to them. I'm like, you're basically in a city, right? Imagine a city. There's crime that happens in cities all the time, except in a city, you're like in a country. And here it's like you're in a lawless land where people can do basically whatever they want and most likely get away with it because, like you said, cruise lines aren't incentivized to report any of this stuff. They'll probably brush it under the rug if they can or like misplace the report or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people aren't expecting because you never hear about this until it happens to you, right? Because people think it's super, super safe and it's all good. And that's why I don't like.
Well, and people also don't realize that when they buy the tickets, they basically are signing their life away. There's laws that actually
probably an arbitration clause in there. That's a whole story that I have, you know, to do. Then it waives your right to a jury trial.
Yeah, it's insane. So, you know, they just think, oh, I'm going for this fun vacation. And they probably think like, oh, Disney Cruise is safe with my kids. And, you know, I mean, how scary is that? That is insane. And by the way, those were just one quarter. That's just a 3-month snapshot. Every single quarter has numbers like that. Sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, right? And, you know, they don't report stuff. Like there was a situation of a woman in February that went missing this year in Cozumel in the Caribbean. And the ship just didn't report it for 8 days and they don't know where her stuff was. And so they didn't give it to the FBI and she's not found. You just don't hear about this stuff. I would never go on a cruise.
Yeah. I mean, I think for that reason, well, this probably is less of a reason like me getting, I'm less concerned about that versus like the norovirus or all these stomach bugs.
Oh my God.
That happened on there. LJ, can you pull up that early? It's like from literally like a week ago, there was a massive, massive outbreak on, was it a Caribbean or Princess cruise?
Ugh. I'm like Howard Hughes.
Element D13.
I'm like Howard Hughes with the
CDC investigating a stomach bug that broke out on a Royal Caribbean cruise headed from L.A. to Mexico with more than 140 passengers sick. Norovirus is typically behind cruise ship outbreaks. Royal Caribbean says the health of its passengers is a top concern, and it promises it has rigorous cleaning procedures.
Sure they have rigorous cleaning.
Doesn't that mean that somebody like shit on their hand and then like touched the food?
It's not always like from feces. It could be from anything, really, because there's, I don't really know what the cleaning procedures are on a boat because you can't really clean that well, right? Because everybody's going through and they're touching all the spatulas of the buffet and then it's getting kept there.
Well, buffets are disgusting.
In general, not even.
Yeah, in general. Think about it. Like, if there's a situation of a buffet, I'm either first or I'm not eating, right?
Well, I do. I mean, I'm pretty careful about, you know, making sure that I'm sanitary.
It doesn't matter. The person in front of you is like, achoo. And then now all of a sudden you've got strands of EBV and all sorts of shit all over the eggs. And
well, they got to do so. Okay, so I went to the CDC website after I saw that news article. And guess how many norovirus outbreaks have there been this year alone on cruises?
On cruises?
Yeah.
Ew, I don't want to know how many.
18 outbreaks just this year.
Oh my God. Where everybody gets it on the boat, basically?
It's not everybody. Obviously, there's 140 people that got it on the boat. I'm pretty sure there's thousands.
I mean, being trapped. If I went on a cruise and there's an outbreak, like I would be in my room with a pulse ox on my finger, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, with my finger on the pulse, just waiting for it to hit. I would not, I would have to like be medicated.
That reminds me of like
high
early on in COVID. Remember?
Yes.
People were like stuck on cruises and they couldn't
get off. God. Trust me, I was watching that then. I'm like, these poor souls.
And they just were waiting because it's all in the air conditioning.
They didn't let them out for like
months. Some of them were on there for months.
Oh my God. Like, thank you. I just want to say thank you, God and Jesus and all the angels for not allowing me to be one of those people. Thank you. I need to give thanks where it's due. I wouldn't have made it. You would have seen girl was shot jumping off of the cruise. I would have gotten off that balcony. Boop. You would have seen me fly off. I'm not staying on there.
And
3 months?
Some people love cruises. I watched this YouTube channel that just reviews cruises.
Never going to go on one.
Yeah, no, I spent hours and hours watching this lady. Emma Cruises is her name. But anyway, she just does these reviews of cruises. Like, oh, look at this room. And look at, the, you know, this is the buffet. And I'm like, oh, okay. It was more of an educational thing for me. I'm like, okay, some people enjoy. They enjoy the shows. They enjoy, like, the different food options that they can get that's, like, not part of the regular. I don't even know what it's called when you go, like, there's, like, food that's included in the cruise. And there's food that's, like, extra.
I don't know. But I do know that when I went on, there were
specialty restaurants. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
See, I'm learning all the lingo. I will never go on a cruise, but I know.
Information, yeah. For some reason.
Come on. I mean, that's me. I love research. I love information.
I know. No, it's great. No, I'm glad you could tell me about
the specialty restaurants.
Yes. But I do know that people are like, they do. They love the cruises. They have the things on their door. Because when I went on the one time, you know, there was people that had these stickers on their door, like 50th cruise. And I'd look at those doors and I'd be like, wow, we got some real psychos.
So then does that mean that, you know, we're being illogical and that person's been on 50 cruises and it's been fine?
Look, I will tell you one more story. Obviously, this is anecdotal evidence, but I have a sister who is teeny, 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 tiny, like 90 pounds. She's my younger sister. We got off at St. Lucia on this cruise to do like a little shopping before we did like an excursion that day. And St. Lucia is known for high crime. I think that, you know, they had beheaded a family that had a yacht that was docked there earlier that year. And my mom's more like a butterfly that floats, you know, through. She's just carefree. And I was with my little sister, who at the time was under 18, I think 17 years old. And, you know, we're in this market where there's kind of like all of these different tents where you could buy art and stuff. And all of a sudden I'm like, where's Sophia? And there was this guy that was holding her hand to show her something that she wanted. And I went through there so fast and I grabbed her hand. Luckily, I finally saw it. And I said, where are you going? And he goes, oh, I was going to show her something, you know? And I'll never forget that moment. You know, it's been years and years since I went on that cruise, but it was one of those icky feelings. I got my mom like, we got to get back on the ship. We were no men. I thought for sure they were going to do something to my sister. I just had that gut intuition and I've never forgotten it. And I think to this day, wow, she could have been sex trafficked or something weird was going on there. Like, why would you pull her through some back alley? It was the weirdest thing. So
I think that's a lesson in just like, no matter where you are, you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Especially women, you know.
That's why you need the app.
That's why I need the app.
The T app.
That's why my dad taught me, you know, you put your keys between your fingers and he would say, if anybody comes up to you in a parking garage, you have your key there and then you go for the ear.
Wow.
You know, hook shot, soft spot.
Yeah.
So luckily I never had to use that, but.
Yeah. Don't necessarily just do that. For the listeners out there, we're not promoting violence, but if you're in that situation,
maybe a Tesla key card. I don't know what I would do. Like throw it like a ninja star and hope for the best.
I still have a traditional key. I'm an old school guy. I don't trust cars that could drive themselves.
I need cars that can drive myself.
I like it. I'm not opposed to the idea. I just think that they're going to be taken over one day. Like it's somebody's going to.
Oh, I mean, it could happen.
And
sure.
And then you're off somewhere else.
No, it's true. I agree.
Yeah.
But any cruises are scary. And there was also a stabbing last week on a cruise. So we don't even need to get into it, but
it's a huge industry, makes billions of dollars a year. So
they hide the info from you.
Exactly. Anything that's money making, they hide the info for you.
Right. Glyphosate, the fire, AIDS situation. Actually, that's the theme Anything. Of this episode.
Yes. Speaking of hiding, okay, before we sign off, just a quick Epstein update.
Yes.
Because I think, to me, this is going to be the Watergate of our time.
Oh, for
this
sure.
is like the largest cover-up, and it's very sloppily done, similar to Watergate, right?
Yeah.
In that, like, why are you guys even in the DNC, you know, building, ceiling stuff? This is the same thing. It's like, what's happening here? Like,
right.
Why is there such a sloppy cover-up? In that your story's changing every single day.
Right, that's what bugs me the most.
It's like it's a hoax. The list exists, now it doesn't exist. Now Ghislaine has a list. We gotta talk to Ghislaine. What is happening here? And the big question that I wanna ask you though is, do you think Trump is a pedo?
I mean, look, there's no way to know, right? There's no way to know. I would say no based on past Howard Stern interviews that he did where Howard was like really pressing him about, you know, he knew Paris Hilton when she was 12 and Howard would be, you know, raunchy and be like, was she hot then? Was she hot then? And he would always say like, no, that's not really my thing. I like him 25 and up. So, but I have no idea of knowing.
But then why doesn't he, if that's true, then why doesn't he just release the shit?
Well, you and I have talked about this in depth. I don't think that this administration or any administration has the blackmail evidence. I don't think.
Well, if they don't, then release it. If it does not there, they have mounds and mounds of hard drive. That is known. There's a list out there from the DOJ that says this is everything, not everything, but this is a non-exhaustive list. And it's pretty long. I posted it on my Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
Of like hard drives, laptops, photo albums, all the shit that they captured from Epstein. Why don't they release that?
It's a great question. Obviously,
and obviously redact the victims.
Somebody.
Yeah, yeah, redact the victims. All right. I get that feedback all the time. Like, okay, yeah, yeah, blur those guys out. No problem.
I mean, I don't think that's who they're protecting. The victims yeah. like Juliet Bryant and, yeah. you know, the past Virginia Giuffre and Maria Farmer, the people that have come forward, they want these higher up men to be, you know, prosecuted for the crimes against these young children and their horrific crimes. So I don't buy that at all. We're protecting the women. I think they're protecting people high up in government, high up in business, high up in tech, high up in the world, and maybe they're donors of Trump's. I don't know, but they're protecting somebody, and it's every administration is protecting them. Why didn't the Biden administration release the info? I mean, you could do that with almost
you could do that with an administration,
right, exactly.
But the questions are still out there in the way that he's handling it. It's so, so sloppy once again. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, they're literally shutting down government.
Well, to go back to your theory of the writer you were talking about, if he's just the front man, he's just being given a script, he's going out, he's doing his part, and who knows what the fuck they're telling him to say, right?
That could be it, or it could be that he's potentially implicated.
I mean, look, I would not be surprised if he's implicated. I have no idea though. I have no idea of knowing. And no, anybody that claims that they know one way or another, unless they're one of the victims, is full of shit. They don't know.
Yeah.
So.
But I just think that you can't, I think this administration is gonna have problems, prosecuting any other agenda if this doesn't get resolved.
I mean, this is Russiagate part two.
Well, they're trying to do a Russiagate part two right now with the Obama administration, yes. Which is like, fine, then do that. I'm okay. Maybe Obama did some things wrong. He probably did, right? All these guys are corrupt at some level, but then it doesn't really hit if this situation is still lingering over your head.
My point is, when I said Russiagate part two, is that this is going to be the story that the mainstream media is going to put above all else that this administration does. And people are not going to let it go. And we're going to probably be dealing with Epstein, releasing the list, all of this stuff for the rest of the administration. And
here's the difference, though.
Yeah.
Between the Russia back in 2016, 2017, and this is that nobody on the right or the conservatives or the Republican Party bought into the Russia thing because that was just like, what the hell is this, right? This issue is like core to the MAGA base. This is their issue, and he's going against their base. So I think this is
being
different.
Hijacked by the left now.
It's now being hijacked by the left, but what I'm saying is this issue is tenet or core to this administration and the supporters of this administration versus like the Russia hoax thing was not.
Yeah.
So I think this will be a much larger impact versus the Russia thing.
I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come out about Epstein. I think the thing right now is, will Trump give a pardon to Ghislaine Maxwell? That is something that he has said he could do in interviews. But remember, he also had, when he was asked about Diddy, he said he could give Diddy a pardon too. And then people take that and they're like, oh my God, he's going to give a pardon. You just never know.
He could pardon anybody.
Yeah, that's the president.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means anything. I did see a report before we came into film that Ghislaine said that she's going to plead the fifth in this case unless she gets what she wants, which is going to be like time served sentence, probably some way for her to get out. But then it's like, can you even trust what she says, right? Or is the Trump administration and the DOJ going to her and they're saying, put these people on the list and we'll give you a get out of jail free card? So at this point, to me, I'm like, this is all bullshit. And I feel bad for the women, and, you know, there's sickos out there.
I agree with you. So
that are just let us free.
Let us know, you guys, what you think of the Epstein situation, what you think of glyphosate.
If you're going to go on a cruise this summer.
Yeah, cruises, all that shit. Comment down below.
Damn.
I don't mean to steal your line, but it's such a good one.
Oh, good. No, I'm bringing you on over. Yeah, and for me, if you know anything with the numerology stuff with the shooting in Manhattan, you know, DM me, ping me, let me know about Freemasons, everything that's going on there. I would like all the info. And thank you again to our sponsor, Ground News.
Yes, and for you, you could subscribe. If you're listening to this, wherever you're listening, subscribe if you haven't done so yet.
Yes.
On YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are. Sign up for our Patreon.
Yes.
Support
the show. Become a founding father.
Exactly. Founding father. It's very important. We'll send you a little declaration of today-ish.
Yes.
Are we doing that? We're going to do that.
I think we should.
All right. We're doing it. And I think
we've
eventually
got Kevin Howard one on the way.
I think eventually we're still getting the show up and running, trying to get the audio. Hopefully this audio was a good experience for you.
Yes.
But eventually I think we will be starting to build out our Patreon in terms of like sneak peeks, behind the scenes access, things like that.
Yes.
A lot of stuff is coming. We're in episode 3, so we're just super excited to.
And we're so grateful for all of your support. And we have some good interviews coming up with some high profile guests. So we'll just leave that open and you'll see who that is soon. And some other fun interviews that I don't think are anywhere else. So,
yep. And that is all the ish. Thank you so, thank you guys so much for your time.
Bye now.